In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text has recorded in 1 John chapter 3, just read. Are you in or are you out? Parents from time immemorial have asked their children, winter, spring, summer, and fall, are you in or are you out? People who work with your investments hand you a prospectus, which you're supposed to read, and then they ask you, are you in or are you out? Today's lesson makes it clear how one is made to be in and how one displays themselves as being out. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we are to lay down our lives for our brothers. In. Or you hate your brother, and so you're a murderer, and eternal life does not abide in you. Out. So are you in or are you out? Which reminds me, today is a celebration of the birth of the confessor Philip Melanchthon, of blessed memory. Ironically, Philip Melanchthon once wrote Luther with his in or out problem. It was with regard to church-made rules and whether to defend them or not. In Christian love, Luther responded, grace and peace in Christ, my Philip. You do have a problem. In oversimplifying the question and the response, Luther went on to tell Melanchthon that his challenge was not that there were man-made church rules, but rather that man had made church rules. And in his usual brevity, Luther, in 8 short pages, responded to Melanchthon and concluded, Philip, you're wearing me out with your vain worries. I'm almost tired of writing to you. The Lord Christ be with you. Amen. Martin Luther. One may wonder if that meant Luther loved Melanchthon in deed and truth, but not so much in word or talk. So is it oversimplifying you to ask, or for me to ask you, are you in or are you out? St. John proclaims, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. And yeah, there it is, right there. It's that law word, should. Of course, we should fear and love God. Even 10 out of 10 catechism commandment responses agree on that. But should we love our brother? It has been said that there are 2 great messages of the gospel, the message of faith and the message of love. Faith before God and faith toward or before our neighbor. Out of divine love, God created Adam and Eve, and he blessed them, and he placed them in the Garden of Eden. And by their own actions and in their rebellion, they went against the command of God, and they were cast out of the garden. And so they passed from life into death. Their son Cain, who was of the evil one, became angry with his brother Abel. Sin crouched at the door of Cain, and Cain freely went through that door, and in enjoining sin, he murdered his brother Abel. And Cain's deeds reflected his lack of love for his brother. So the ramifications of not loving your brother are very clear from the very beginning, as St. John notes. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has life eternal abiding in them. Towards people, we are supposed to love them. And especially those brethren in the faith, we are to excel in love toward them. We're not to be completely self-absorbed by our own desires and machinations, but rather concerned with the well-being and the livelihood of those who are around us. We're not only to love the saintly, the agreeable, and the rich. That would be too easy. We're also to love those who are weak, who are troublesome, who are unlearned. We are to love selflessly and willingly. It all sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But right now, you're either whispering to the person next to you or you're thinking in your mind, man, you haven't met my brother. And if my brother means everyone, you haven't met the people I work with. You haven't met the people I study with. You haven't met my family, and you really need to spend a day in my life, and you need to meet the people I have to deal with. And if I can't hate one or two of those people, then I must be out. Indeed, if you do refuse to love your neighbor, you are out. And furthermore, what you do does not get you in. What gets you in? It is the incarnate Christ, the seed of the woman who bruises the heel of the serpent. Luther said that text right there is the text that restored Adam and Eve to life and raised them again from death to life, which they had lost by their sin. The seed, who is Jesus Christ, is so strong that he crushes the head of the serpent, and the devil is conquered, and Adam again enters into the estate into which he was before. So are we, who fall by our own sin and fall by the sin of our old Adam, are we in or are we out? Let not your eyes curve inwardly for the answer to that question. Rather, it is by the all-availing sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross, that we are being given the hope of being in the presence of Christ's eternal love. Believe it by faith, not of your own, that in your baptism, Jesus Christ loved you. You have died to sin and live in Christ. In your baptism, you renounced the wicked one. You renounced his works and all his ways. He is cast out. Through the water combined with God's word, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Indeed, Christ's body is given for you. In truth, Jesus' blood is poured out for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. And because of his love, we are called to love those who are around us. For God's love does not abide in those who sees his brother in need and closes his heart. To be sure, good works and brotherly love do not earn or preserve our salvation, yet we perform them because Jesus Christ commanded us to do so. Believe in me and love one another. And so love is prompted and proceeds from the truth and is carried out in deeds. So are you in or are you out? In Christ and Christ in you, you are no longer of the evil one. In Jesus Christ's deed and his truth, we pass out of death into life. In. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.